When I grow up, I want to be Statler or Waldorf. I hope you're a Muppets fan and understand. We'll explain in a moment. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I believe this is episode 22. We're trying to give you new content every day leading up to your fantasy drafts. If you'd like to send me questions or send me your draft results, we are going to review some draft results today of significance that were out there over the last week. If you missed it, maybe you care, maybe you don't, but it's good material for us. It's talking points and some people that I do respect in terms of faces of fantasy football out there that are available for all of us. I'll get to it. Originalhooters.com provides the support for me to continue doing these podcasts for you. If you're in the greater Tampa Bay area, visit originalhooters.com to find out information on all 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, where they are, when they're open, and for easy online ordering. I was just at the Tampa location earlier this week, getting my standard order of 8 Daytona wings and a neutral, in and out, and under $20, with a very friendly, efficient Sabrina behind the bar at that particular Hooters location, where we have done a number of fantasy events in the past. I will be hosting one of my personal league drafts at a Hooters this year, not that location, because I've got a store manager involved, Tony Metzler, and we're doing it at one of the locations in Pinellas County. 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. Visit originalhooters.com. And no, I haven't tried the mango habanero yet. We're going to try that as a group when we do the draft at Hooters, as long as Tony gets that done for us, and I think he can. I've got a fun idea for that night. And I hope Hooters likes it, and I hope everybody likes it. So I sort of thought of that last night as I was driving home from my Hooters visit. Email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Statler and Waldorf. Two Muppets who sat up in the balcony during the Muppet show and just made cracks about what was going on the show. They're always funny. And there's a story behind the influence of Statler and Waldorf, but they're always funny. And if you go to the Muppet Vision attraction at Disney's Hollywood Studios, which thankfully just got new seats, by the way, they have maintained that attraction for years, and it's the last thing that Jim Henson had his voice on Kermit that was ever done. So that's significant. But up in the balcony, Statler and Waldorf sit up there. They actually have the last word in the show, and it's funny, before you leave. I love Statler and Waldorf. So we're going to Statler and Waldorf a bit and praise. ESPN did their fantasy football draft. It was earlier in the week. We're broadcasting this the week of, I think they did it in first run Tuesday, August 20th. I'm sure they taped it maybe earlier that day because they had to make it fit into a specific television window. And I recorded the show, watched who participated, and then wrote down what their picks were so we could share in the info, we could critique it, and we're also getting some opinions of people who know what they're talking about when it comes to fantasy football, like Field Yates, like Mike Clay. Excellent Twitter X account, by the way, from Mike Clay. Adam Schefter is involved. Let's just put it this way. In a fantasy football draft, Adam Schefter's not drafting anyone he has questions about as it relates to contracts or other things going on within the team or injuries, and the same applies to the talented Stefania Bell, who is an injury expert. So those four are the highlight ones for me. Those are the highlight picks. I really want to know who they're taking in fantasy drafts. So let's review the fantasy football draft done on TV earlier this week by Field, Clay, Schefter, and Stefania. There were six others involved, to varying degrees of I know who they are, and lesser degrees of I respect their fantasy opinions. First round, McCaffrey went one. Good enough. Field Yates went second, took Bijan Robinson. You know what? The fantasy football calculator mock draft data, as of today, from nearly 1,000 mock drafts done in the last 48 hours, also has Robinson number two. This was viewed on the ESPN fantasy football draft as a stunner, yet the mock draft data supports it, that Bijan goes two. Breece Hall went three. You know how I feel a bit about Breece Hall. You know how I feel about the Jets. And I'll just say that the person who drafted him, I don't respect his fantasy knowledge. I'll leave it at that. Mike Clay went fourth. And he took CeeDee Lamb at four. The fantasy football calculator mock draft data has Lamb at four. As of the time of this broadcast, Lamb isn't in camp. So you factor that in. The fifth pick in the fantasy draft for ESPN was Tyreek Hill. That's excellent value. Outstanding value to get Hill at five. I like that Amon-Ra St. Brown went next. Yes, there is a name dropping. Then someone picking seventh who I have no respect for, and here's why. And I'm leaving the name out. The person who picked seventh in the ESPN fantasy football draft on TV. Someone I know used to work in podcasting, and I asked that person if that person had ever worked with the person who picked seventh, that I don't get a good vibe from this person. How are they still doing stuff like this? And the person I know, who rarely says a bad word about anyone, said plenty of bad words about this person. So step back. We all know people who see the good in people, who don't want to get into the bad of people. And when that person says something bad about somebody, you know that they suck. And that's what we have here. So that person took Wilson, and let's just say is a New York apologist anyway, at seven. Not a good pick. Schefter was on the clock next, took Justin Jefferson at eight. A lot of questions there about whether or not Sam Darnold can get him the ball. Ninth pick was Ja'Marr Chase. And then Stefania at 10 and 11 went Barkley and Nacua. Nacua seems high based on the mock draft data that has him going 16th. Garrett Wilson 15th in the mock draft data, by the way. So on the wraparound, then Jonathan Taylor went 12th overall in the ESPN draft. Speaking of Taylor, I received a very good email from a gentleman named Tyler from Denver. And Tyler was asking me about keepers. And he said he had to make a decision on Jonathan Taylor and Brandon Ayuk. And I said, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Jonathan Taylor in terms of pushing him way up in the first round, but I can't question his production from a couple of years ago. We still haven't seen a body of work with this coach, with this quarterback. I think he's going to end up taking a lot of snaps behind Joe Flacco this year, but he's behind a good offensive line with a head coach calling offensive plays who knows what he's doing. So I'm starting to come around to, yeah, I mean, Todd, go easy on Jonathan Taylor here. I'd take Taylor over Breece Hall, to give you one example. I may take Taylor over Saquon Barkley, not to badmouth Stefania's pick there. But Tyler wondered if Taylor was worth keeping. And I guess in keeper leagues, I think you want to keep your RB1 around unless you're worried about their age, drop-off, injury, contract, something like that. Ayuk, I think Ayuk last year had his best year he's ever going to have. And you can insert your own reasons why. And as of the time of this broadcast, nothing is resolved with that as it relates to Ayuk's status. Thank you, Tyler, for the email from Denver. The rest of the second round of the ESPN draft, Adam Schefter took Jahmyr Gibbs. If Adam Schefter is taking Gibbs and Gibbs has a hamstring injury, what does that tell you? That was the 13th overall pick. Then Derrick Henry went next. Then A.J. Brown went next. Then Pacheco went after that. Then Mike Clay took Kyren Williams. That also makes me feel better. Again, Kyren Williams helped me win a fantasy championship last year, but I picked him up on waivers two separate times. I didn't have to invest a draft pick in him. I don't know many who were talking about or using a fantasy draft pick last year, this time of year, on Kyren Williams. Now there he is. He is in the fantasy mock draft data I'm looking at for the last 48 hours. He's going off the board 12th. Mike Clay got him with the 7th pick of the second round. Then Cooper Kupp went next. More and more, Kupper in the mock draft data from fantasyfootballcalculator.com is at 22. I think ESPN had him overall at 24. Yeah. It feels like Cooper Kupp should be available later, or people picking him or picking him higher than they need to. It may pay off, because we saw the Rams do great things again last year. Stafford did. Kyren Williams did. Kupp had some good games. Nacua was a great rookie, and on from there. They are without Aaron Donald on the defensive side of the ball. That could hold the Rams back from time of possession, wins, being Super Bowl contender, but we're talking fantasy here. Marvin Harrison, first rookie off the board, 19th overall, and that's to Field Yates. I buy everything Field Yates is saying about the volume, the activity, the pedigree. There's so much there. It just stinks Harrison's in Arizona with a head coach I don't think will be there in 2 years or less. I'm not really sure how long Kyler Murray is going to be a starting quarterback. The contract says otherwise, but you either pay the big money or you let people walk, and Arizona chose to pay Murray that big money. But Harrison does look the part of a big-time NFL wide receiver talent. ETN goes with the last pick of the second round in the ESPN fantasy draft. Is that in line with the data or a little early? No, that was the mock draft data has him at 18, and he went 20. Fair enough. Let's compare the third round and analyze what they did. Drake London. There's a number of people who are giving, let's use the wrestling term, giving Drake London the push in fantasy drafts this year. it's a combination of his years in the league, what he has flashed at times, and the fact that he's now not under Arthur Smith constraints, and either Kirk Cousins or Michael Penix will be throwing him the ball instead of the collection of arms that Atlanta had previously. So that's why Drake London's getting the push. He went first pick of the third of a 10-team ESPN on-air fantasy draft, and the data agrees. 21. Field Yates took James Cook next. Another one that others who were drafting were a little shocked by. I get it. It's a little high according to the data, but as an RB2, Cook could produce to be a solid RB2. But Josh Allen had 15 rushing touchdowns last year. Same as Jalen Hurts, by the way. Achan went third. That seems very overly optimistic. We've only seen Achan do it in a few games. So to me, it's not a big enough sample size. Rashad White went next, and then Mike Clay talked about how he gets text messages either from Rashad White or about Rashad White and his fantasy value, which I kind of think is cool. Rashad White was the lead running back last year on the worst rushing attack in the NFL, belonging to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No team had a worse rushing yards per game than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yet the Bucs won the division, won a playoff game, and were very competitive at Detroit. And I think Rashad White even had a touchdown in that playoff game against Detroit. If Mike Clay is taking Rashad White, he's not just taking him to shut Rashad White up. And if he's taking him as the first Buc off the board, that's pretty significant. That shows that Rashad White is a solid RB2 to me if Mike Clay is doing that in a fantasy draft. Malik Nabers went next. You know, everything that Field Yates said about Marvin Harrison as a rookie wide receiver and what he can do, I buy. I think Malik Nabers is very talented. I don't want any part of what's going on with the New York Giants right now. Nothing. And saying, well, you know, Nabers will get his. That's funny. He played most of a preseason game and never got a ball thrown his way. Or never caught one. Kamara went next. And that seemed early. Then Davante Adams fell all the way to the third round. 27th overall. He knows he'll be getting the ball from Minshew. I think the fantasy draft data says otherwise on Davante Adams, or maybe not. Oh, he's dropped all the way to 41 in the fantasy football calculator mock draft data the last 48 hours. I didn't like the pick. Olave then went next to Schefter. Huh. Even though, in my opinion, he's got nobody good to throw to him. I feel the Saints making a lot of changes by this time next year. A lot of changes. I know Clint Kubiak is now their OC. Dennis Allen won't be first coach fired, but should be on the list. I'm not impressed there. How much more do we need to see of Carr to know that he wasn't worth the free agent investment? Also, as it relates to Kamara, Taysom Hill is getting actual running back reps more so than in the past. So that could impact Kamara. Pittman went off the board next. That seemed early. Although he is a very consistent guy in terms of what he gets you every game? Where was he in the fantasy football mock draft data? Was he that low? It's froze up, but it feels like Pittman going 9th pick of the 3rd round was too early. And the fact that he went ahead of Mike Evans shows it was not a good selection. Then Nico Collins went next to Stefania, and then we'll do one more round. Stefania took Laporta as the first tight end off the board. We already explored that in a previous podcast. It's the Kelce kerfuffle, how there's this, because of Kelce's drop-off in numbers in the regular season last year, maybe some fantasy managers have scar tissue that Kelce didn't do more for them, that he was under 1,000 yards in the regular season, that he only caught 5 touchdowns in the regular season, and they're moving on from Travis Kelce. And he's still the best tight end in the NFL, and he's the best tight end in fantasy football until proven otherwise. Josh Jacobs went next in the ESPN fantasy football draft. Then Adam Schefter was doing this for television purposes, taking Anthony Richardson. I just don't think Anthony Richardson, I need to see Anthony Richardson play full season before believing Anthony Richardson is worth a high fantasy draft pick. Jalen Hurts went next. Jalen Hurts should and is being considered one of the top fantasy quarterbacks. Feels like, why are fantasy quarterbacks, after the last couple years they've been creeping up, why are they dropping? Because they've been producing. Hurts, 15 rushing touchdowns. Allen, 15 rushing touchdowns. Mahomes didn't have a rushing touchdown last year, but still put up very good fantasy numbers, even with Kelce only scoring 5. I don't get that. If people drafted these quarterbacks and then didn't have a good team, it was because you made mistakes with your other picks or didn't play the waiver wire correctly. Joe Mixon next. Now, then Josh Allen went as the 3rd quarterback off the board. He should be 1st or 2nd. He should be. And a lot higher than the fantasy mock draft data via fantasy football calculator has him going overall 23. In the ESPN draft, he went, 37? Yeah. Then Debo. Then Field took Ayuk, 39th overall. And then Lamar Jackson went off the board in a sort of run on quarterbacks in that 4th round. So that's what the ESPN fantasy drafted. I stopped after 4 rounds. I'm like, that was enough. And because I had other things to do and just wanted to get you those. That's their opinion on. I know I didn't make, I made some cracks and I left the names out of the people I'm cracking on with their picks. But take what you will out of that. Again, Field Yates, his first 4 picks were Bijan Robinson at 2 overall, Marvin Harrison, James Cook, and Brandon Ayuk. Mike Clay went CeeDee Lamb 4th overall, Kyron Williams, Rashad White, Mike Evans. And Mike Clay is not a Buck homer. More and more, though, even Mike Florio said the other day, Bucks are woefully underrated. So you're getting those of a national perspective, and most of you know I'm not a Buck homer at all. I'm a Cowboys fan. I think the Bucks are underrated as well nationally. But they're starting to get love from national people who respect. They have the longest streak of consecutive playoff appearances in the NFC. They now have the investment in Baker Mayfield paid off. Mayfield year 2. Evans continues to get it done. Re-signed all their main key free agents. Made the mistake on Randy Gregory and then got that taken care of. Gregory never was at a training camp practice. Never was able to do something stupid on the field for the Buccaneers. Basically just tried to steal a signing bonus and not show up. And the Bucs called him on that shit. So I like what the Bucs have going. Schefter took Justin Jefferson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Chris Olave, and then, I think for effect, Anthony Richardson. in a perfect world, I get it, but we'll see how many games Anthony Richardson plays. And then once opposing defensive coordinators get a lot of film on Anthony Richardson playing in the NFL, what they do to him to make him adjust. I think there's a long way to go here. And then Stefania went Barkley, Nacua, Nico Collins, Laporta, which is interesting for as smart as Stefania Bell is. She goes with Saquon Barkley, who is changing teams, going to a team where Jalen Hurts gets all the short yardage rushing touchdowns and hasn't traditionally thrown to running backs, takes Nacua in year two, takes Nico Collins, even though Stephon Diggs is added to the Texans attack as the Texans try to avoid a sophomore slump with C.J. Stroud and that coaching staff, and then takes Laporta over Kelsey. Interesting. Very interesting. The one thing on Detroit, I will say, on Gibbs, and I owned him last year, and I don't draft a lot of rookies. And again, I was blessed with riches at the running back position last year on my title-winning team and couldn't use Gibbs a lot. I think Gibbs's touchdown ceiling is lower than you want from your RB1. If you're thinking about taking Jahmyr Gibbs as your RB1, consider this. Yeah, the Lions are going to score, but Amon-Ra is going to score. Laporta is going to score. Montgomery is still in the mix as a running back. Jameson Williams is still going to have flashes. He is a weapon. I don't consider him a consistent weapon until further notice. But all this takes away from how many obvious goal-to-go opportunities is Jahmyr Gibbs going to get. Now, he's going to score from outside of goal-to-go. But how much, I think there's a ceiling there on just how many touchdowns Jahmyr Gibbs can score. Now, I say that and watch him have, you know, a Mostert-like year and just blow up. But that would be my concern and why Gibbs isn't my RB1. I'd love to have him again this year as a projected RB2, or the problem I had last year getting him in the lineup because I had McCaffrey and Kyren Williams most of the year. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Talk to you next time.